Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
It is Monday on the Cardle and Woolley Show, and I have a question for Jim Cardle. I'm Lynn Woolley, by the way. And Jim, there was some kind of moisture stuff falling out of the sky. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I was just going to say, alert the media.
Was that called rain?
Whoa. Casey Johns just said there's a... Not a flash flood, but a flood. That was a good distinction, but it involved water. You're exactly right, Lynn. What's with that?
Yeah, it was actually kind of nice. The grass was a little bit greener, and a good thing to see. The media, though, will still tell us, and probably correctly so, that we're still in a drought. Even if we have a flash flood of some kind, we'll still be in a drought.
Yes, it will.
And the lake levels are down. You know, I do a song in my set called River of Jordan. That's where Jesus was baptized.
Oh.
And I saw a picture in a local paper this morning of the Jordan River.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is it in the news?
Pretty darn close to dried up.
Global drought.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. By the way, today's the first day of classes for the University of Texas. And I have some big news for you, if as a horn frog over there, if you haven't been following the news.
Hold on.
What?
There we go. Cue the music. Go ahead. Now I'm ready.
Lovely.
Yes.
Okay. Quinn Ewers.
Yes.
Has been named the starting quarterback for the University of Texas, beating out Hudson Card. But I'm going to tell you a little secret here.
Okay.
They have quarterback ratings, right?
Yes.
And there's only been two quarterbacks, maybe ever, but in recent history, only two quarterbacks going into college have gotten a perfect rating. Just, you know, tens all the way down the line in passing and scrambling and in perception and in size and height, all the indicators of it coming out of high school.
And Quinn Ewers is one of them?
Yeah. You want to guess who the other one was?
Garrett Gilbert.
Vince Young.
Really?
So this is a good indication.
Wow. And I believe that led to a national championship.
Oh, Longhorns may be back. I'll tell you right now, if I had a vote in this college poll, the Horns would have been number one.
In your unbiased.
In my totally biased opinion, yes. All right, what do you make of Ken Cassidy? He's a 25-year veteran at the police. He comes on all the time on our show. He's the president of the Austin Police Association. But the Austin Police Department, of course, is in a bit of a controversy. Still at least 100 officers short. I saw a report on Fox the other day that said 250. That may be a little high. But is Cassidy, he's at a point, isn't he, Jim, where he can take his retirement and go do whatever else he wants?
I would imagine so, yes. That's the way things go with a lot of these associations, or even in your municipal retirement systems. You can either sit out and go back to work for another entity or come back as a consultant. I know in the teaching profession that happens a lot, and a lot of folks these days, you've seen the move in the last 10 years. I know I've had friends that have retired from, say, a major telephone company, and they get off the payroll, which means they're not on the health care and the retirement plans, and then they just hire them back as consultants. That's a different situation than here, but we absolutely need Ken Cassidy to stay around and be involved. We got too many criminal events happening on the street, I hope he continues to be involved in the public domain and in the public debate. Absolutely. But the answer is yes, he can do this and he's going to do it. And seems like we anticipated, or we've kind of had him hint on the radio every now and then, that he was not going to ride into the sunset, but we'll see what he does.
And this, of course, comes in the middle of the contract negotiations.
Another opportunity opened up. Good for
Bridget Grumman, Austin American statesman.
Yes.
My hat is off. This is a random act of journalism.
Uh-huh.
It's obviously an opinion column. It's in written in the first person, I this and I that. So this is Bridget Grumman's opinion.
And you don't often wear a hat, by the way, so your hat being off is a big deal. Yes.
All right. The Austin City Council waited till the end of the 12-hour budget hearing to approve 40% raises. She's asking the question in this column. In the Statesman, why didn't they give more consideration to this? Why didn't they think about it more? Why didn't they let people comment on it more? She said the whole thing was done in 90 seconds.
And this is
seconds.
A surprise to her?
Well, I don't know that it's a surprise to her, but she's saying there's something smells about this.
You and can agree or disagree with the use of those numbers. My main concern is the lack of discussion and opportunity for the public to see how council members reach such a sizable boost. Well put.
Sizable boost doesn't begin to describe it.
No.
She says even the trio that voted against the raises, that would be Paige Ellis, Vanessa Fuentes, the new Cassar, and Mackenzie Kelly, didn't speak to the proposal, although Ellis, as you recall from our Friday show, we went through her press release saying that our priorities need to stay focused on working people right now. So we've got this thing over here for working people. We've got this thing over here to raise the city council members' raises 40%. Don't pay any attention to that one. Let's pay all of our attention to this one over here. Bridget Grumman isn't buying that, and I'm not buying that.
And the key thing to me, Lynn, these Austin City Council members, they're making more than council does in Dallas, San Antonio,
This is worth doing the figures.
Yes,
so
it
go
is.
Ahead.
I'm looking at the numbers here toward the end. Austin's old city council salary of $83,158 is more than the typical Austin household earns at $75,752, and more than what council members make in Dallas, El Paso, San Antonio, Fort Worth. That's a problem, I think.
In Fort Worth, the city charter designates that council members make $25,000.
Now, there's an idea. And we got raises of that amount, essentially, and more at 40%. This is...
San Antonio is a bigger city than Austin.
Of course.
And
so is
the
Dallas.
Council members there make $45,722. Here's another thing that just... county commissioners. I have friends that are county commissioners. I have friends that I can call on, at least one who is a county commissioner, not in Travis County, but who can clue me in to why counties do certain things and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy. Love him to death, but he's retired from a major corporation.
Okay.
And I had another friend who was a county commissioner who had many, many acres of farmland, was a corn grower, and probably had cattle and all that together.
Because it's a part-time job, as
because
it is
the county
here.
Commissioners is essentially a volunteer job that in Travis County pays $146,720. Okay. Now, the county judge, typically, the last county judge, I know the county judge where I'm from, and I knew the one before. Okay. The one before was my personal lawyer for a while when I owned some radio properties. And he was my personal lawyer, not my D.C. lawyer, but my personal lawyer. When he ran for county judge, he caught hell. And it was, how much time are you going to spend at the law firm, and how much time are you going to spend at the courthouse? So he issued a statement. I will resign my position with the law firm, and I will be a full-time county judge.
Oh, wow.
A county judge almost has to be full-time.
Good for him.
But the commissioners can still do farmland.
Yeah.
Roger Williams can still own a group of car dealerships and make his congressional salary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at some point, and then, of course, there's the biggest example of all, and that's Donald Trump.
He gave back his salary.
He gave back his salary. That is president. That is correct, and so does Steve Adler.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump didn't. He may have put some things in a trust. I'm sure he did.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
But he even had a hotel a few blocks up from the White House.
Even the city of Phoenix, a lot of people don't realize that Phoenix is the fifth largest city in America now, behind sixth largest behind Philadelphia. They even make 61,600. So all the major, there are a number of major cities that would be comparables to Austin. This is, shall we say, something that Miss Grummet is well spoken to have pointed out. Why did this happen so fast? And why was there a lack of any discussion and opportunity?
No, we talk about the statesmen sometimes.
Oh, but therefore transparency.
We talk about the statesmen sometimes in a less than glowing manner.
When they're liberal, yes.
And when they do something such as this article, which was well-researched, well thought out.
A random act, as you say.
Of journalism.
Yes.
And points are well made. Mm-hmm. This is why you subscribe.
It is.
And I wish they would do more of this kind of thing. And it's not that there's any malfeasance here. I want to make sure people understand that. This is all about whether they did this in the right way, whether they were tone deaf, as she says, close to the
whether
end of this article,
passes the smell
at a time
test.
When soaring houses costs are continuing to push people out of the city.
Yep.
And it seems to me, I've always thought that county commissioners and city councils, maybe we ought to look at making them
full-time
a volunteer job.
A volunteer, yes. Volunteer would mean no pay.
No pay.
Oh, now you're talking, Lynn Woolley. I like that idea.
Kind of like radio.
I like
that. All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. 512-643-5483. When we come back, of course, we were working on that labor contract between City of Austin and EMS. There is a new Gallup poll. I just saw it just before we went on, and it's kind of mind-blowing. We'll have all that for you coming up on Cardle and Woolley.
You need to buy Lynn some lunch, Jim.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Dana Loesch. Coming up at 11 a.m., it's The Dana Show. Now back to Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
KXAN story says there is a tentative agreement reached between the city of Austin and the Emergency Medical Services, EMS Association.
Yes, they did.
$4.2 million wage proposal included pay raises that range from 4% to 11.2%.
Now, wait a minute.
According to the city.
I thought the going wage increase was 40% these days, according to city council.
Well, they had more than 90 seconds to think about this one.
Oh, so this was done in public over an extended period of time, and there was plenty of input. Maybe the Austin City Council will take notice.
Well, I mean, this is a labor contract, so there's I don't know that the city council's unionized.
Well, you raise a good point, but my point is that one passes the smell test and the other doesn't.
Well, I've always thought that service, and I know Ken Cassidy and Dennis Ferris wouldn't want to hear this, but I've always thought that people that are vital, first responders, should not unionize, and I include teachers in that, because when they go on strike, they put a great deal of the general public at risk.
Well said.
Whether it's students missing school because the screwed up teachers are on strike, because they want this and they want that. They're in a service organization. I would very much agree to pay teachers more money, probably a lot more money.
Okay.
If we could get back to neutral teaching, that is the teacher teaches history, both sides, uniformly, does it correctly, factually, and does not mess on the United States constantly like I suspect they do.
Not to mention a little reading, writing, and arithmetic of common
levels. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
I just don't want to pay people, and then they go in there and they become political operatives inside our school system. That's not what I want. And it's why I think the time of public schools are coming to an end. But getting back to this, wage proposal and the tentative agreement said the starting pay for entry-level EMTs would increase by 12.5%. That would take them up to $22 an hour.
Okay.
That's what some of the council members wanted to do with all the city employees.
That's EMTs, and the next part there says it's starting pay for paramedics, which I believe is a little bit to a lot more training, goes up to $30.03 an hour. So, you're exactly right, Lynn. Firefighters, police, first responders,
but let me make a point on
what they're worth.
This agreement responds directly to the very real financial pressures facing many EMS medics by providing $4.2 million in additional pay over the next year while balancing the city's responsibility to the taxpayers. That's a quote from Devin Desai, the chief labor relations officer for the city of Austin. And I don't disagree with any of that. That's all fine. You certainly want good, high qualified, and available EMS service. But spending another $4.2 million is inflationary.
And
if every city in America does that, then we're going to be hurt by the pumping of more money into the economy at a time when the federal government is doing it like radical fools.
Well, what you're saying here is that all of these increases ranged from 11.2% to 12.5%, with inflation running 8.5% to 10% right now. They're going to see a small, minor increase in their real spending power. But we got to be competitive as a city, and clearly it's the case now where folks are wanting to come to Austin. Our population's growing, and this is a necessary part of government, for sure.
Again, I see their point, but that's taking money out of the pockets of people that work in the city in the private sector and putting it into the pockets of people that work in the public sector. And you have to be very careful when you do that, and especially when you're in a recession.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
I thought we were going to get to a cut in this segment, and doggone it, we're not going to be able to do it. But that was a good discussion.
The cuts you were referring to were Liz Cheney. So let's do that after. You know,
my favorite politician.
It occurs to me that Liz Cheney is the Stacey Abrams of the Republican Party.
Good analogy.
And we'll be back and I'll explain all this and what Liz said on ABC. It's just crazy. Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley. We'll be back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
You know, just to put a fine point on it, I don't object to unions for public services that are first responders because of a strike situation. They can't do it. The whole thing and point I was trying to make, and maybe I didn't say it well enough, is that the EMS Association, the police unions, all of this give a power to a certain group of employees that are working against taxpayers. And I don't think there's any way around that. So teachers can strike. But it's just one of those things where I guess I would prefer that the city council take control of a situation like that and work to make sure that the pay is fair to both the first responders and to the taxpayers that are funding it. And so that's where I'm coming from. Now let's go to Liz Cheney. I mentioned the GOP's Stacey Abrams. I just think Stacey Abrams is a gadfly. I mean, she shows up everywhere. Star Trek Discovery made her the queen of the universe in one episode.
She still hasn't conceded that she lost four years ago.
And Liz has conceded that she lost. I mean, she probably lost by the biggest margin of any major election in my memory. But she's a gadfly. She's going to show up now on every CNN program, every
Absolutely.
MSNBC program.
You bet on it.
I very seriously doubt she will ever be on Fox. And to think that anybody wants a never-Trumper to have the nomination for the Republican presidency is just crazy. And if she runs as a Democrat, she's too conservative. If she runs as a Republican, she's too anti-Trump. So she's essentially the woman without a party.
And she's vowed to never let Donald Trump continue to have a chance to win office.
Yeah, but it's not her say. It's not her say.
Exactly. What a position and goal in life.
Yeah, that's crazy. To make hatred of one person. But again, we had a network that made hatred of one person its reason for existence.
Well, they still are.
And that's CNN.
Yeah.
CNN without Trump had no ratings. With Trump, they had some fairly large left-wing ratings, but it wasn't close to what Fox had.
At about 500,000 right now.
But you can't make a career off of hatred, and I would say that to Donald Trump, too.
Of course.
I'd say to Donald, if he was sitting where you're sitting right now, and the Donald said, I'm sure you're going to support me, I would say, if you go in to office and you want to make America great again, put America first, get this inflation down. Yes.
I think that's what he's going to do, Lynn. I think he's going to have a
But if you go into office and your big deal is revenge on Liz Cheney and everybody who opposed you, then I'm going to vote for somebody else.
Yeah. There is something to a little cheap entertainment that certainly, and humor is what I think he's trying to do. Maybe could do a little bit better job of it. But when he's throwing a zinger here and there, like you're saying, as I always want to say, he isn't an obnoxious New Yorker. What do we expect after all? But his policies led to a prosperous nation. But you're right. Soften down the tone a little bit and go ahead and use humor, but perfect it a little bit and have a positive message.
All right. Jonathan Carl was doing ABC's This Week. Liz was on. He asked her, what about January 6th? What about Trump supporters in Congress?
If January 6th can't convince Republicans to reject Donald Trump, what can?
Well, I think that as a nation, whether we're Republicans or Democrats or independents, we all have to reject that. And we can agree that there are certain issues we're never going to agree on politically, but we have to come together, you know, across those party lines in order to protect ourselves against that kind of threat.
So you've said you're going to work against election deniers. If it's not Trump, And if it's somebody like Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, these are all people that have tied themselves very closely to Trump. Will you oppose them? I mean, could you see yourself supporting any of them?
It would be very difficult.
Yeah, in other words,
what a piece of
I want to run for president as a Republican, but I'm no longer a Republican.
Unbelievable. I just, you know, as I always say or try to remember, attack the sin and not the sinner, but she is not in a good place right there if that's her mindset, where she's being such a negative Nelly like that and clearly so wrapped up in, as I think can accurately be described, wrapped up in the hate. As opposed to, and there she's saying we can have disagreements about policy. Well, Liz, look in the mirror and start practicing some of that.
Liz says people like Ted Cruz can't count on her support.
When you look at somebody like Josh Hawley or somebody like Ted Cruz, both of whom know better, both of whom know exactly what the role of Congress is in terms of our constitutional obligations with respect to presidential elections. And yet both of whom took steps that fundamentally threatened the constitutional order and structure in the aftermath of the last election. So, you know, in my view, they both have made themselves unfit for future office.
What about DeSantis?
DeSantis is somebody who is right now campaigning for election deniers. And I think that is something that I think people have got to have real pause about. You know, either you fundamentally believe in and will support our constitutional structure, or you don't.
You know, this is what I dislike about interviews on television sometimes, is what? They don't ask the questions that I think should be asked. Certainly not the questions I would ask. What would you have asked? What if you had Liz Cheney here right now? What would be the first thing you would ask Liz Cheney?
I wouldn't have her here right now.
I know that, but if you did.
She got curb stomped. She's irrelevant.
I understand that. What question would you ask Liz Cheney if you could ask her a question?
What in the H-E double toothpicks is wrong with your mindset right now, and why are you so obsessed with something that most Americans don't
Well, I mean, okay,
about.
There's process questions like, why in the hell do you think anybody would ever vote for you?
Yes.
Okay, but that's, I'm talking about substantive questions. I'd like to say, Liz, if I could ask you three questions. Liz, what about the unconstitutional election changes that were made in states like Pennsylvania?
Why do you think you have a right to interrupt what other people are doing?
Well, because I'm Lynn Woolley. Okay, now the other question, next question I would like to ask her.
Ding, 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 ding.
Next question I would like to ask her is, do you really think that massive mail-in voting in the middle of the night at these boxes and things like this that we've got videotape of people tampering with, do you really think what happened in Harris County, Texas is the way to elect a president? Do you really think, Liz, that we ought to throw out any form of ID, certainly photo ID? And the last question I would ask Liz Cheney is, Liz, are you just all that comfortable with the way that the media just floated around Joe Biden, putting him in a protective cover and not allowing anything out on Hunter Biden?
Great questions. The FBI covering it up, yes, number one. Number two, judges and secretaries of state changing the law, which is supposed to be done by the legislature. Those are very good questions.
Stevens in Round Rock. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, fellas. Well, I spent about 30 hours watching Mike Lindell's little conference that he had in Springfield, Missouri.
Stephen, you really seriously need a life. You spent 30 hours watching My Pillow?
It wasn't a pillow commercial.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
The man is not crazy. I mean, he's a religious Bible thumper, believer in God, preacher, evangelist. Okay, fine. Get past that. He's not crazy, and he put the evidence all out there. I'm telling you, it is quite plausible, very believable, and they didn't cheat by just one method. They cheated by about five or six methods, all in concert, and if you don't learn anything at all from that conference, believe this. Do not vote early. Do not vote by mail. That's how they steal these elections with the machines.
You're absolutely right. And what you're talking about there, Stephen, if I can expand a little bit about that point. If you vote early, you show up in tonight's early voting total, but your vote may disappear in future elections, but yet you've been shown as voting, so you can't correct it. Your record is there. It's there to be manipulated, in this case, negated. And that happened in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania. And you're right. Mike Lindell is not crazy. There's more than enough evidence, but they set up a system. And I think this goes back to the Hillary Clinton election 4 years earlier. It's why she essentially took the last 2 weeks off and didn't go to the battleground states like Michigan, where it was neck and neck. Everybody wondered why she wasn't campaigning. This could be a plausible reason, because she thought they had, as Joe Biden said, and Casey's got it, Joe Biden said himself, we have the most sophisticated voter fraud system set up in the history of mankind, and that they did.
All 50 states, there were representatives from all 50 states, and they got up and they went through every state in alphabetical order, and there were real citizens who have devoted their life to looking into this stuff, and all 50 states had corruption in them. And some of the worst, Alabama, Montana, Utah, red states. And Texas had more, there's only one state who had more votes stolen and flipped than Texas, and that was California.
Just by the sheer volume, yeah.
There was, yeah, just the sheer numbers, no state, there's only one state, California, only one state had more votes stolen and flipped and manipulated by the machines than what went on in Texas.
In our fair state?
We're number two.
Really?
Number two.
Did they go into it? Was it in the major cities? I know Dallas has had a bunch of questions about this.
And there's huge fraud in Bell County.
Really?
There's a report by a guy got up there, and he said that Bell County had tremendous fraud.
Nobody even knows where Bell County is.
Seriously,
I bet you
Jim.
Woolley does.
Yes, exactly.
I bet you Woolley
seriously.
Sure does.
Bell County is, I want to say, the ninth largest county in Texas. So it's fairly important. As far as how you would attack this, Stephen, if you were a left-wing member of the media, which virtually everybody on MSNBC, New York Times, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, all those are left-wing media, what you do is you attack the people personally and you accuse them of being a conspiracy theorist. And let me read you the opening line of Galen Bacriere in the Springfield News Leader writing about this. Mike Lindell, he writes, the CEO of MyPillow and a leading election conspiracy theorist. And once they've done that, then the whole article is about the fact that the guy writing this story believes they're nuts. And that's what they've done. When there is absolutely something, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. There's substance to the idea that the media wouldn't run the Hunter Biden story and totally suppressed it. There is substance to what happened in Harris County, Texas, with mail-in voting. There is substance
Absolutely.
To these states changing the laws unconstitutionally and using the pandemic as an excuse. And yet, there is no major media out there, or medium, out there other than Fox or maybe Newsmax that will even touch this. So I'll give you the last word.
Those networks like Fox and Newsmax, they won't mention it at all because they're afraid of a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit that got filed by the voting machine manufacturers. And these machines are being manufactured here in the United States. The company called ES&S.
Yeah, all right, got it. I got to go. But let me say that there used to be a certain kind of immunity for people doing legitimate news stories, and that has gone away. We saw it with Alex Jones, and we saw it with the situation with this news. So, yeah, there is a chilling factor right now. I never thought it was the machines myself.
No, it was both.
No, I never.
All of the above, like Stephen said.
I never thought it was the machines and still don't. All right, Talk 1370, the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in
512-643-5483.
Well, if you are wondering why the tower was lit up today, all in orange and with a number one in the window.
What was it?
Well, apparently Texas has won the 2021-2022 Director's Cup.
Meaning?
Well, I wasn't sure, so we had to check. So the Longhorns are the nation's top all-sports program for the second straight year, and the UT Tower will shine with burnt orange lights and the number one displayed Sunday, August 21, to celebrate Texas Athletics winning the 2021-22 Division I Learfield Director's Cup. So I, driving in this morning, got a chance to see that.
Yeah, we covered this story. It came out about 2 weeks ago is when they actually released it. But I guess the tower being lit up, that's always something special.
This is on the strength of four national championships and 10 NCAA top two finishes. The Longhorns won the Learfield Director's Cup for the second straight year. Now we got to get back to having that tower lit up with a number one for football.
It's upon us, Lynn.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. I'm looking for which game. You know, with the prices, you can only afford one game a year in my economic strata. You can only afford one game a year. And so I'm thinking that Louisiana Monroe or something, there's some $7 tickets, and I'm thinking I might be able to buy at least two of those.
There you have a nice ball game in your agenda, yes.
I don't know. I think we're actually, the grandson of Logic is kind of wanting to go to the West Virginia game.
So. Sark's got some things going over there, no doubt about it.
Indeed he does. It's Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
We have mentioned earlier a Gallup poll that's come out. I want to get to that in a minute because it is kind of showing the effects of a couple of years of Joe Biden on the nation. But Jim Cardle, did you note the difference in the networks? You've got Joe Scarborough, who is a far left winger.
Yes.
And you've got Victor Davis Hanson, who is a think tank guy, who is a right wing type of guy. And they were both, this was a coincidence, they were on different shows at different times on different networks talking about why the nation is divided.
That would be a good topic, I think, and one that's in the forefront of most Americans' minds right now.
I would like to ask you what you think, but shall we do their opinions first?
Absolutely.
All right, let's start with the left. Let's go to Joe Scarborough. He's the Morning Joe on MSNBC. And Joe says that top Republicans are to blame because they are using dangerous rhetoric. And he talks about the 87,000 IRS agents. Here's what the Morning Joe says. Now, remember, let's focus here. He's talking about who's dividing America. The Morning Joe, a former Republican, says Republicans are to blame.
This isn't just happening. Like, it's not like, oh my God, there's somebody on the internet who's saying these things and there's nothing we can do about crackpots in their basement on the internet. No, this is being said by the top Republican in the House. This is being said by one of the most senior Democrats, or senior Republicans in the Senate. This is being said by some of the most top, some of the most watched cable news hosts. And they are deliberately, again, I just Republicans. Chuck Grassley, I mean, you need to talk to this guy. I mean, you need to talk to him. A strike force that goes in with AR-15s already loaded, ready to shoot some small business person. And why do you think you're losing in these Senate races because you're seen as radical?
He's talking about the 87,000 new positions at the IRS over the next few years.
Did you hear the
and
Freud,
the fact that they are being told to be prepared to go in with deadly force.
Did you hear the Freudian slip when he was talking about crackpots? He mentioned Democrats.
He did. And then he corrected it to Republicans. All right, Joe says right-wing rhetoric is what led to the Oklahoma City bombing.
And this is more about this is about far more than politics. This is a sort of rhetoric that led to Oklahoma City. The post Ruby Ridge, post Waco rhetoric, the militia rhetoric, the survivalist rhetoric that led to Oklahoma City. And if you don't care about innocent lives that are being targeted right now, then just know this. Oklahoma City, the tragedy of Oklahoma City, this sounds very crude and crass. It's just the truth. We were there. We Republicans were on the Hill when Bill Clinton was on the run. Oklahoma City re-elected Bill Clinton.
I don't know where he gets that. I wrote a chapter in one of my books about Oklahoma City and how Bill Clinton blamed Oklahoma City on one individual.
What rock and,
Wait. You can't just move from that.
Okay.
He blamed Oklahoma City on one individual, Rush Limbaugh. That's who he blamed it on. So, all right, now analyze what you just heard from Scarborough.
I think that blaming Rush Limbaugh is absolutely cuckoo. What rock has Joe Scarborough been living under is what I'd like to say. Has he not been around in all of 2019 and 2020 when we had hundreds of quote-unquote peaceful Black Lives Matter? There was riots, lawlessness, destruction in the streets. People died, and he's focused on Oklahoma City and this almost fictitious right-wing raids. It's the left who's overwhelmingly had violence, and he's talking about Oklahoma City. This guy's lost it.
All right, I want you to look within yourself.
Okay.
And I'll look within myself.
Okay.
Where are we on the right to blame here? Seriously, do we have any blame at all? I mean, do we do things that are totally divisive just to be divisive? I mean, have we torn up American cities?
No.
Have we threatened to assassinate a Supreme Court justice?
No.
Have we doxed Elena Kagan's house?
That would be a negative. Yeah.
So
exactly.
I'm trying to understand this here, especially from a guy that used to be a Republican. I've interviewed Joe Scarborough back in the days before he became the Morning Joe, when he had his book out and he was on a book tour. And I used to think that he was a top-notch guy. I don't know where he's coming from here, and I'm trying to understand it. Was it a Republican that stood on the steps of the Supreme Court and said, "You have reaped the whirlwind"?
No, that was Democrat leader Chuck Schumer, exactly.
So I keep thinking about this.
And
it's not the Republicans that wanted to assassinate Kavanaugh. That was a left-winger.
Yeah, and you know, I even get frustrated when people say it is on both sides. But for Pete's sake,
it's about a 90 to 10.
I mean,
what do Republicans actually do that's violent? Some of them sometimes attack abortion mills or something like that.
No, they stand outside in front of
them.
Well,
I know.
Pray.
Mostly they do. I'm talking about when they don't.
It's if I'm telling you that I'm not doing it, it means that I am.
Well, I know,
doing
but
it,
let's go to Victor Davis Hanson, the left accusing the right of undermining democracy while they are doing revolutionary things. Victor Davis Hanson on Jesse Waters. He's going to tell you the exact diametrical opposite of what you just heard from the Morning Joe. Victor Davis Hanson.
Yeah, I think we can. But remember, the left projects. So if Christopher Steele draws on sources like Dushenko and Dolan, a Clinton operative, they draw on Russian sources to smear Donald Trump, and then they call it Trump collusion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking nonstop war. They really are. And they do things that are revolutionary. I mean, nobody on the right said, let's junk the 233-year-old Electoral College, the 180-year-old filibuster, the 150-year-old nine-person Supreme Court. Nobody said, let's bring in two more states and end the idea for 60 years of a 50-state union. And then when you look what they've actually done, they failed at that, but nobody in the Republican Party ever tore up the State of the Union address on national TV like Nancy Pelosi. No Speaker of the House, not Newt Gingrich, not anybody else, Paul Ryan, they never said, you can't, to the minority party, you can't have these people on committees. That was a revolutionary thing to do in the House.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then Victor Davis Hanson is talking about how violent the Democrats can be.
Nobody ever goes outside the homes of Justice Kagan, thank God, or Justice Sotomayor. There's not right-wing assassins that show up out there. And when you look at the literature that's coming out, if you look at the New Republic or The Nation, these left-wing venues, all you hear is blue exit, and it's time for succession, and we can't live with each other. Or if you read, you know, Time magazine, that classic article by Molly Ball in February of 2021, where she gushed, she was giddy, outlining what she called was a conspiracy to change radically the voting laws, to inject $400 or $500 million to alter the way we voted for centuries, so that 70% of the votes would not be cast on election day, even as the rejection rate would decline by a magnitude of 7 or 8 of the individual ballots. So these are revolutionary things they're doing. And the other thing is they never show any data. It's easy to say Trump is a fascist, or Trump did this, or these people are revolutionaries, or they want a civil war. But did Donald Trump ever try to weaponize the IRS in Lois Lerner fashion?
I'm telling you, Lynn Woolley, he nailed it on the head there. American voters, we're not merely unhappy with our political leaders. They're awash in fears about our economic security, our border security, even physical safety on the streets. And the left is constantly denying the reality. Victor Davis Hanson nailed it.
All right. So who do you think won between Scarborough and Victor Davis Hanson? I will say that a lot of Trump supporters breached the Capitol on January 6th. Well, that's a fact, Jim. You cannot like it, but that's a fact.
True.
And I wish it hadn't happened, and I think it reflects badly on the conservative movement.
Well,
I think the Democrats have, of course, weaponized January 6th. Rather than seeking justice, they are using it against all Republicans, whether we were there or went inside the Capitol or not. I can't get my mind off the whole summer of insurrection. I can't get my mind off of the Chop Chaz Zone in Seattle or the hundreds of days of straight rioting in Portland.
Yep.
I can't forget about the comedian holding the simulated severed head of Donald Trump.
Great point. Yeah, no, I'm shrugging because it's, as you said, 90 examples on the left for every 10 on the right. The preponderance is that the left are the ones that are violent. And number two, Americans are sick and tired of it, and the cavalry's coming in November.
Mm-hmm, but yet Joe Scarborough goes on television and says those things without one iota of irony, without one iota
it's
of
demented.
Self-awareness,
yep.
And I don't understand it. And another thing, I'll say this is one of the things I don't like about Austin. I love this city. I think it's a beautiful city. I think it's one of America's most beautiful cities, most mm-hmm. charming cities, as Tucker Carlson once said on his show about Austin. But when I go downtown and all the city decorations, all the paintings, everything you see, the posters that we have up are all left-wing. And I don't understand why the city council or the city manager's office doesn't understand that other people have opinions too.
Yeah.
At some point, are we going to go in and sing the praises of Bill Clements?
No, this is what Victor Davis Hanson's point is. The left is executing a revolution and doing it, shoving it in our face and down our throats. It's about time something be done about it.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
All right, Jim, I want to do, before we take a call here, because I think this is along the same lines, an interesting email from Mike in Caldwell. Just a quick comment on Elon Musk's comment about supporting the left half of the Republican Party and the right half of the Democrat Party.
Mm.
It's political happy talk. It's fallacious. There is no right half of the Democrat Party. There's not even a right sliver of the Democratic Party. In fact, there is no democracy in the Democrat Party. Musk seems an affable guy, but I can't believe that he is, in the final analysis, different from the rest of the billionaire globalists in the club. I would love to be wrong, but that's unlikely. I'd rather be a missionary in Africa than a conservative talk show host in Austin. You're plowing very hard ground. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you,
well,
sir.
He's absolutely right about that. That is a point. I don't know how much left-wing stuff there is in the Republican Party. I know there's some. There's people in
Liz
the Republican
Cheney.
Party, or Liz Cheney, for example. But there is nothing right wing about the Democrat Party at all.
Oh, they're all self-admitted socialist Democrats now.
Well, what's the difference? What do the two parties actually mean, America. Jim? When you look at a republic, what's a conservative? A conservative is somebody who believes in things that are tried and true, things right. that have worked for this country.
Yes.
Our history, our founding fathers, our Constitution, we revere those things. Democrats hate them. They want progress. Let's put that old Constitution written by dead white slave owners behind us, and let's move on.
They want to play God is what they want to do, as opposed to going on history.
And I think part of liberalism is deciding what is conservatism and then opposing it.
There's a lot to that.
And it just doesn't much matter what it is. You could take two circles.
Tearing down America.
Take two circles. Okay. All right. Put everything that the left believes in one circle.
All right.
You know, climate change,
abortion
on demand, big government.
Do away with oil and gas.
Massive spending, all that. Okay. Then take another circle and put everything the conservatives believe in it.
Yes.
And put in there things like God, family, tradition.
Hard work.
Right to life.
Merit. Yeah.
Well, personal responsibility.
Yes.
Things like that. That skin color does not matter. It's the content of your character and not the color of your skin. Now, we've done all that. We've got these two circles. How much do those circles merge?
None. Or slim and none.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Kevin in Cedar Park. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. I was thinking of what Hansen was talking about, Victor David Hansen, and he didn't mention the topic of education and how they've been extreme in their education pursuits.
Well, that's true, but understand one thing. When you're pulling a couple of clips from a cable interview that may have lasted as much as maybe 6 to 8 minutes, we don't have everything that he said. But I thought the points that he made were very salient. You are right. The left seems to want to use education to teach in a certain way that will create little Marxists coming out of school. And conservatives like me, I want to teach about slavery. I'm not shying away from that at all. I want to do it in a balanced, truthful way and talk Absolutely. About the United States in more positive terms than the left does.
Right, and that's what I wanted to add to it. As you know, we've got elections coming up for school boards, and for people to pay attention to that. And I hope you guys bring that topic up every day until the election comes around, because that's the form of government that's closest to the people, besides you know, let's say the mayor and city council, and that's extremely important.
No, I think it's even closer than the mayor and city council. You're talking about your children. You're talking about their education, and you're talking about the future of your city and perhaps your state and your nation. So, yes, it's the one we ought to pay more attention to, but it's probably the one that's in the middle. I don't think we pay much attention to the county commissioners at all. We pay a lot of attention to the city, some attention to the schools.
So I hope you guys do that, and then I hope that Dade Phelan comes around and goes to school choice, where the money follows the child. Fund students, not systems, similar to what they did in Arizona. And it seems to be that there's more of a push this time than any other time for that to happen.
Governor Abbott stated publicly he was going to make it a priority. We know Dan Patrick has done the same thing and tried to accomplish the same thing for 4 or 5 sessions. I think you're going to see a lot of success this session. And just like you said, fund the child, not the system.
Well, I think Kevin's right about that. It would be nice for the parents to have the same choice that, you know,
yes.
Barack Obama had. Barack Obama wasn't about to send Malia and I can't remember the other
escapes
one.
Me too.
Yeah. The two daughters that he has, he wasn't about to send them to
Well, the liberals never do
to public
what they
schools.
Tell the rest of us to do. Yeah, of course.
Well, that's true. That's true.
What, rules okay, for thee, not for me.
We've got about 20 seconds here. Mm-hmm. What do you think we'll see in the next legislative session with regard to school choice?
I think it's going to be one of the top 3 priorities. This has been a great side effect of the...
And Betancourt will be at the helm of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of the COVID catastrophe that's impacted so many areas. The education blob and monopoly is falling apart before our eyes, and that's a good thing because kids need to have individualized education.
All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. We'll be back, and we've got some great stuff, including that amazing Gallup poll. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
When you're talking about these differences in right and left and how they might affect the election, and when you're talking about all of this, these surveys that show that the Democrats are doing pretty well in the Senate races, I just wonder, Jim, how much Biden's big blunders will do. Because you could write a book called Biden's Big Blunders, and there would be plenty of them. Brian Kilmeade has a little show called One Nation. And he had Tom Cotton on, the senator from Arkansas.
Yes.
And Kilmeade was curious about the first year anniversary of the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and whether the general public has already forgotten it. And here's how that went.
No, Brian, it's not possible to bury the fiasco in Afghanistan because it has effects that are resonating around the world today. You know, China's major state-owned propaganda outlet referred to an Afghan effect about a year ago. Part of what you see in Ukraine is the Afghan effect. Vladimir Putin took Joe Biden's measure last August, and he started building up troops on Ukraine's border just a month later. Xi Jinping took the measure of Joe Biden, and the Afghan effect there, as you see, with the bellicose rhetoric and actions regarding Taiwan. So even though Joe Biden and his administration never wants to discuss the Afghan fiasco, it kind of underlies a lot of the chaos you see around the world. It wasn't just a tragedy for the troopers that we lost and their families and those Americans that we left behind. It was a strategic blunder of the first order, and unfortunately it's going to be living with us for a long time, at least as long as Joe Biden is president.
So I'm suspecting, Mr. Cardle, that there are people who will vote against Joe Biden because of the Afghanistan withdrawal. These might be military families, anybody that had some friend or relative left behind, or people that didn't like leaving billions of dollars worth of military equipment in Afghanistan for the Taliban to use. There will be people that are vote against Joe Biden because of inflation.
Well, I kind of
there will be people that vote against Joe Biden because of high gas prices. My point is to you, if we are to believe these surveys that are coming out and showing the Democrats doing pretty well right now, what's to be made of all the Biden disasters?
Yeah, I think there might have been one or two last week by some left-wing prognosticators that the Democrats are, you know, doing better than they in fact are. I think by and large, you see that Hispanics are abandoning the Democrats. They've got many, many areas that they need to be concerned about, and I'm not believing that they had a good week or two makes an election. I thought it was interesting. I don't know that the word Afghanistan necessarily is going to be in a lot of people's minds. The military is one exception, you're right, but I thought it was interesting how he referred to it as the Afghan effect, because the world's leaders have and are taking measure of our president. It started with Afghanistan, went to Russia clearly, and is now Taiwan and China. And it's an overall preponderance of evidence that we're not respected by our friends and feared by our enemies anymore. And that's a big old problem. So this will have some tangential effects. Yes.
I'm trying to think about how all of Joe Biden's performance is going to affect the midterm elections. That's kind of what's
huge
in my mind.
Yeah.
Gallup has a new poll.
This is good. This explains it.
They have something called the Survey of Life Evaluation. It's a Life Evaluation Index.
How we feel about our lives, yes.
There are three places you can be on it.
Okay.
One is thriving, like Cardle.
Yes.
One is struggling, like Woolley.
Okay.
And one is suffering, like a lot of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the homeless and all of that. We've seen all of those ranks rise.
Or the average American.
So the suffering index here on Gallup's Life Evaluation Index was 5.6% in July. That's the highest since they started doing this in 2008. That exceeds the previous high of 4.8% measured in April and is statistically higher than all prior estimates in the COVID-19 era. The suffering percentage has reached a 4.5% or higher on a handful of occasions. We're now at 5.6%.
And this measures, again, how you and I and folks feel about their current and future outlooks. That's a big deal, Lynn.
Well, but the thing is, if you're trying to relate this to the elections in the midterms and then the 2024 presidential election, I think the president that most closely approximates Joe Biden was Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, absolutely.
And we had that misery index, and we had stagflation, and that's where we are now. Look, I used to make it a point, go to Sam's every other weekend. I'd buy one of those big slabs of fresh salmon and take it home and roast it in the oven and get about five meals out of it. And I tried to get those at about $20 or under. They're now at $35.
See, that's just typical. Inflation is what's driving a lot of this index and what it is what we base our future outlook on is inflation. And when you're having that exact experience that you just described, eggs are up, flour's up, sugar's up.
Well, Sam's has a whole rack of lunch meat. And I always
meats are up.
I always bring a box of lunch meat back to Austin. When I finish one, I get another one. And I was in the mood for roast beef lunch meat.
Okay.
Well, most of the lunch meat had hit $7.99 for one of those little boxes, which used to be about $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
The roast beef, which I did not buy, was at $12.99.
Wow.
Now, you want to explain to me how the Democrats are leading in the Senate races?
I don't think they are.
You think the whole thing is bogus?
That. Yeah.
All right. What about this U.S. Marshals Service looking to make no sanctuary cities in America, no sanctuary states, but looking to make the entire United States of America a sanctuary country for illegal aliens?
Yeah, this is out of Breitbart. I think it first to me, it was just unbelievable that any government agency would be, what they're doing is setting the groundwork for open borders is what they're doing, and it's just preposterous. What do you make of it?
I make of it that the Democrats are afraid they won't have power at some point, and they're trying to inject as much liberalism into America as they can now. If they can kill the filibuster now, they will do it. But the problem is, if they kill the filibuster now and then they lose power, they're going to wish they hadn't killed the filibuster.
So what they're talking about doing, this headline reads, U.S. Marshals draft federal sanctuary policy to release criminal illegal aliens. What this would mean is that if anybody gets captured crossing the border illegally, they cannot be held. There's no such thing as a detainer anymore. They certainly don't get shipped back.
And well, this would be to override state policy, though. That's what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Is they're trying to go after DeSantis and Abbott and people like them who are the governors in states that don't want the borders to be open, want the borders to be controlled.
How
to some
about
extent.
Americans that want the borders to be controlled?
Well, but what else is this? This is a national power grab. This is taking power away from the states. Look, I think we need to, states' rights. All right, let me finish my sentence. I think we need to return to states' rights, and the Democrats need to stop maligning the term states' rights. Because to them, states' rights is a euphemism or a dog whistle, as they call it, for racists.
It's even more basic than that, Lynn. Most Americans, you know, states' rights is one thing. Most Americans understand the law and breaking the law coming over the border. I wonder if these guys at the federal level, have they talked to the mayor of New York City, who now, as a sanctuary city, says that they can't afford it or handle a couple thousand? We get a couple thousand in Del Rio, Texas. What about the mayor of New York who wants to call in the National Guard? This is absolutely unbelievable.
The teachers are saying that it was MAGA media that picked up this thing on this deal that they negotiated and they marched for.
Of MAGA.
Yes, the great MAGA king. To lay off white teachers first. Jim, how is that not racism?
It is racism. What you're talking about is the Minneapolis Teachers Union now says it's over the weekend. They even confirmed and reiterated it. They are, quote unquote, extremely proud.
Yes, but they
of
said
the new contract they just signed to lay off white teachers before black
correct,
teachers.
But they said the only problem with it is that MAGA media picked it up.
That's ridiculous.
Now, what about white people being banned from off campus University of California, Berkeley student housing common areas? This is not the university. This is private sector, but still they're having an apartment area where people of color can go and not have to be subjected to white violence and white presence, it says in the story.
Yeah, they're dividing America. America is a melting pot. Here, They're talking about a facility that precludes white people from living in a student dorm, essentially. It's only for blacks. That seems to me, and I think to most mothers across the country, if you're banning a certain color of people, if whites tried to set up a white only and ban black people, that would be called racist. That's what this is. They're saying that it's being done because they feel threatened with violence, avoid white violence and the presence. So it's one after another. It's spreading across the nation. And then we go to the governor of New York, who signed a new law last week that takes out it puts into statute the banning of the general or gender terms, male and female. You can't say salesman anymore. You have to say salesperson. You can't say city council man or city council woman. You have to say city council members. It's spreading across the nation, Lynn. Even she passed a law that said you can't even use the word inmate. You have to start using justice-involved individuals or incarcerated persons.
They signed two bills. She signed two bills. Both of them change out usage of he or her, him, his, all of that. And they use the plural word they instead.
Let me ask you, Lynn, are you 32?
Am I 32 what?
Years old.
I am in excess of 32 years old.
Well, do you identify as 32?
No.
You could identify as 32.
Okay, well, I will then.
But are you 32?
I want more money for being 32.
But are you 32? No, you're not. There are some things you just can't change, and being a male or a female is one of them. This is just preposterous. It's ridiculous. You're speechless. I got you.
Now, there's only one in here that I kind of agree with.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Which one's that?
When they're talking about children that are mentally retarded, they want to go to developmentally disabled. A child that hears himself or herself, I'm sorry, hears they being referred to as mentally retarded, that's got to be a shock.
Well, that goes to boys and girls. Yes. Well,
yes.
Across all sexes.
Well, this wasn't about sex. This was about calling somebody retarded.
My point exactly. That means that it is different. So, you know, that's understandable to change that phrase, but changing the word salesman to salesperson doesn't pass anybody, the average American, smell test.
I'll bet it does in Austin.
No,
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Carl and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be right back.
You know what? I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and have you stop right there.
It's time for Cardell and Woolley's News to Know.
Come on, go.
Before you go.
Here we go again.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to squeeze in here, Lynn Woolley. I mentioned the other day that DEA agents, that would be drug enforcement agencies, they're starting to find rainbow-colored fentanyl pills coming across the southern border, and it's not in small quantities. There was a bust of 250 fentanyl pills that were colored like M&Ms or something the other day. And if you look at the crisis going on across the country, all the school districts were seeing fentanyl deaths increase. It's a lot more serious. Hundreds of thousands of kids, a lot more serious than monkeypox at this stage, which seems to be in the forefront. But be looking out for your kids and this DEA alert that there's candy-colored fentanyl coming across the border.
There's an interesting story in the left-wing Texas Tribune, which seems to be going further left with Evan Smith even leaving there or gone or whatever his status is. He has announced that he's leaving. Headline, Texas public schools required to display In God We Trust posters if they are donated.
Mm-hmm.
What that means to me is that the schools aren't allowed to bring anything religious in, but there's a little problem with that one line that the left is having trouble getting around.
Which one line?
In God We Trust.
Okay, what's the problem?
Well, it happens to be our national motto.
Exactly.
And how can you say you can't have your national motto up in the schools?
Not with taxpayer-funded dollars is what the left says.
Well, that's what the left says, so they're not using taxpayer dollars.
Exactly.
So, but there was a law, and the law was from Senator Brian Hughes,
yep.
Senate Bill 8. Well, no, wait a minute. Senate Bill 8 was abortion.
He's the same author, the same guy. It doesn't.
Yeah. Senate Bill 797. Not that that matters, but
yes.
So this says if it's donated, if the posters are donated, the school's got to put them up.
Well, there's Black Lives Matter in the classroom.
In Wisconsin.
Let me ask you this.
Let me throw this in. In Wisconsin, there's a big story out this morning. The state school board there just voted in favor of a policy banning gay pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags from classrooms due to what school leaders say is political messaging.
We've had Black Lives Matter in schools across the country. Let me ask you this, Lynn. Is it a problem when you take God out of the schools and you put in a transvestite drag queen?
Well, that it hasn't worked too well.
Hate to say it, but that's where we are.
Yeah, it hasn't worked too well. And so, you know, I'm not one that wants to turn schools into Sunday school. Don't misunderstand me.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
I think when I was a kid, we would have members of the student council, of which I was never elected to.
Okay.
But members of the student council would go to the principal's office at about 8 o'clock or 8:30, and they would deliver a little prayer over the school intercom, and I don't think it really hurt anything.
It is.
The rest of the day was all reading, writing, and history.
It is why the pilgrims came to America and what the founding fathers founded our nation on.
Well, but they didn't want the government running your religion.
But
there's got to be a fine line there where we're just stupid on the one side of the line and we're over the top on the other side of the line. So can we not just be logical?
Of course not. We are way over the line, and this is a great thing. And mothers across America are going to be rising up.
I don't think that we ought to be having Sunday school in our social studies class, but neither do I think we ought to be having drag queen parades either.
Exactly.
All right, time to put the plug in the jug for today's edition of the Cardle and Woolley Show. It's been nice having you along with us, and let's do it again tomorrow. Lynn Woolley saying, be logical, and remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great Monday, everyone.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.